Now, as we continue again with our studies in the Gospel according to John, we're going to cover today the last half of chapter 10, John's Gospel, chapter 10. Let me read some of the verses first. Chapter 10, verse 19, there was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? That is, how long will you hold us in suspense? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not. Because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. We'll pause in our reading there for a short time. Let us pray. Our Father, we turn to thee again. We think of these solemn words we've been reading. And we do pray that no one in these days in which we live shall be in any suspense with regards to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that every listener to this broadcast now shall be absolutely sure in their own heart that Jesus is the Christ of God, the Son of the Eternal God, the Savior of sinners. O God, hear us now as we cry to thee, wilt thou bless the proclamation of truth, that men and women may get saved, and that those who are saved may be built up and encouraged and strengthened. We ask these things now in the Savior's name. Amen. Now, in our last study, we were dealing with the great claim of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was the door of salvation. Now, it seems conclusive that the latter portion of chapter 10 is designed to set forth the glories of the person of Jesus Christ in his relationship to the Father, and thereby declare his deity, and thus his messiahship. There is a very demanding question that is asked and dealt with, verses 22 to 24. Then there is the decisive answer given in verses 25 through 30. These are found in the verses we have read. And later on, nearing the end of the chapter, we have the detestable reaction of the Jews, verses 31 through 39. Then we have the definite movement from Jerusalem, verses 40 through 42. Now, you will remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to them as the result of the blind man who received his sight as recorded in chapter 9. And what we have studied in chapter 10 is the outcome of that great miracle. After all, this man was cast out from the temple, cast out, as it were, from the fold of Israel. The people there didn't want him. They didn't want his testimony. It was all right when he was sitting as a blind beggar by the wayside. No one was interested in him. They let him alone. But the moment he received his sight and began to testify concerning the person of Jesus Christ, then he was a marked man and he was cast out. But I pointed out that when he was cast out, the Lord took him in. He found the true shepherd. These false shepherds had deserted him. Now he found the true shepherd and was following the true shepherd. And it's obvious he was one of his sheep. That led to all the discourse that we have been studying in chapter 10. And now, when you come down to verse 19, it says, there was a division therefore among them, that is among the Jews, for these sayings. I've been pointing this out now in previous studies, how the day came when the people were divided. There was a division first because of his teaching. Then there was a division because of him. And again there's a division because of his sayings. They cannot stand up to the searching teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was division amongst them. Some of them said, why, this man is mad. He's talking like a madman. He must be possessed with a demon. Why do people listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? He was a good argument. Now, it's from there that we're led on to this great question, verses 22, and the answer through verse 25. Now, he was at Jerusalem, and it was a special feast of the Jews again. It was a feast of dedication. It was in the winter time. And the Lord Jesus is walking in a temple. He's walking in Solomon's porch. Remember, he was a greater than Solomon. Solomon was a great man. This porch was named after Solomon. But he was a greater than Solomon. And it says the Jews came round about him. Can you picture them encircling him, as much to say, we're not going to let him go, we've got him now, we're going to put a question to him, and when he answers this question, then we'll have him absolutely cornered. Notice then when this question was asked. It was during the winter. It was at a time of the Feast of Dedication. And this appears to be significant in a few respects. It suggests to us that summer is ended and the harvest is past. And that strikes a great chord with those who understand the Scriptures. The summer is ended, the harvest is past, and some of them are not saved. In plain words, it's coming near the end now. The Lord Jesus is just about to withdraw the offer. He's walking in Solomon's porch at the time of the Feast of Dedication. Then again, notice the question that is asked. They came round about him and they said, how long dost thou hold us in suspense? For that's the meaning of that verse. How long dost thou make us to doubt? Are you going to hold us in suspense? Or will you come out and make a true statement and tell us whether you are the Christ? Tell us plainly. Now notice, this question is asked with an ulterior motive. In Solomon's porch is the place where the question was asked, while Jesus was walking there. You know, it may be interesting to take note where and when the Lord walked. You know, John saw him walking down on the banks of the River Jordan and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The River Jordan, you know, is a place that always speaks of death and separation. He was walking down there. And it seemed at that time he was walking alone when John pointed him out. There are times when you find him walking by the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Here he's walking down in the temple area. Jesus walked. And you know, if we look upon him as he walked, we may learn a lesson. And as he walked, they asked him the question. It seems they circled him round. And they said, now we want you to answer this question. And this question was asked in order to get a plain, direct statement from the Lord Jesus, by which they could accuse him, and thus have an occasion for stoning him to death. They wanted a straight answer from him. They wanted him to say yes or no. If you are the Christ, just say plainly, yes, you are the Messiah. Say that plainly. And if he did, then they were going to accuse him of blasphemy and have him put to death. But what they did not realize was this, that the Lord Jesus Christ could read their hearts. He knew the intent of their hearts. He knew the motives. So therefore he begins to speak to them, and he gives them a very, very decisive answer. I want you to notice his answer. Verse 25, he begins to speak. And it leads right up to verse 30, where he says, I and my Father are one. First of all, there is the examination of his credentials. Instead of making a bold statement, first of all, he says, I want you to consider the words that I have spoken. Secondly, I want you to consider the works I have performed. You see, the words he had spoken, these were his oracles. The works he had performed, these were his miracles. Plain words, he's saying to them now, why don't you just examine what I have said already? Why don't you just examine what I've done, and you'll come to the definite conclusion as to who I am? He says, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Plain words, I told you. I spoke to you. If you had listened to what I have already said, you would know who I am. And then what about the works that I do in my Father's name? No one else could do these works. Therefore, the very works that I have performed, these miracles, should be proof to you as to who I really am. You remember again, my friend, and I come back on this again and again, that the reason why that John wrote this gospel was simply this. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you might have life through his name. Now, it's obvious these people did not believe. It's obvious that these people had not listened correctly to his word. You remember he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. They hadn't listened to his word. They hadn't believed. It's obvious that they did not accept his miracles as being wrought in the power of the Holy Spirit. They did not accept him as their Messiah. So they ignored his words, and they ignored his works. These were the things by which you could examine his credentials. And his credentials stood out clear and plain. But notice now the exposure of his critics. First, he exposes their unbelief. He says, you believe not. Then he exposes the fact that they are not his sheep. Verse 26, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, the thing here is this. He has made this truth perfectly clear, that when he speaks as the true shepherd, as the good shepherd, then it means that those who are his sheep recognize his voice, and they follow him. But it's obvious that these people were not his sheep, for the simple reason they did not listen to what he had to say. They did not accept his word. They would not follow him. They did not recognize him. Therefore, they were not his sheep. And he says this, ye believe not. So they were unbelievers, and they were not his sheep. Here we have the exposure of his critics. My friend, let me apply that truth to every listener today. If a man or a woman refuses to believe the truth of the word of God, then it's obvious they are unbelievers. And if they do not believe, it's obvious they're not listening to what the Lord has to say to us through his word. Therefore, they are not his sheep. Those who are the true sheep will hear the voice of truth. They will recognize when it is truth, and they will recognize when it is error. A lot of people today are claiming to give the truth. But when you take it and examine it by the word of God, you discover it cannot stand up to scriptural examination. Now then, again, we come back to the eternal security of his children. Their character is stated. They have the ear to hear, and they have the feet to follow. That speaks of faith. Their safety is guaranteed. They possess eternal life and are protected by God. We made some reference to this in our study yesterday. speaking now of his true sheep, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, they have the ear to hear. They listen to what the shepherd has to say. Then they have the feet to follow. You see, my friend, it's our ears and our feet that set us forth as being members of the flock. When two people have ears that will listen to the word of God and have feet to follow in the true path, they'll soon be brought together, following the same shepherd, and having a common attachment to the same shepherd, they will have an attachment to one another. From there he gives us the safety of the sheep, and that safety is guaranteed. They possess eternal life and are protected by God. He said, I give unto them eternal life. If you are one of his sheep, you're not waiting to get eternal life. You possess it now. That was John 5:24. He that believeth shall not come into condemnation, is passed from death unto life. But again, he that heareth and believeth hath in possession of eternal life. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, if you say that you've got eternal life, and yet you believe there's a possibility of you perishing, my friend, then you don't believe what this text says. This text says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If you have eternal life, you shall never perish. Here is the absolute eternal security of all those who are his children, those who are his true sheep. Again, he goes a little further. He says, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. There's the place of security. There's the place of safety. He goes a little further and gives us a double security. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and none shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. So there's the double security in the hand of the Savior and overshadowed with the hand of the Father. Then he says, I and my Father are one. Now when you reach verse 31, you have this detestable reaction from his enemies. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. I'll ask you a simple question. Why did they take up stones to stone him? Had he said anything that was wrong? But they were not going to accept what he said. Here is the corruption of unbelief. They were determined in their wickedness to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if they didn't get rid of him, then his teaching was cutting right across their bowels. His teaching was penetrating and piercing the conscience. And they didn't want to be convicted of their sin, so they must get rid of this man. Oh, the corruption of unbelief. Now here is the challenge of the Lord. He challenged them regarding the works he had performed. Then he challenged them regarding the written word. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If ye call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Here then was the challenge of the Lord. He challenged them regarding the work he had performed, and that challenge still stands today. Then he challenged them regarding the written word, and that challenge stands today. I've asked people this before, and I'll ask you, my friend, as you listen to me. What have you got against the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you anything against the works that he performed? Have you anything against the word that he spoke? If you've got nothing against him, then I'll ask you this, why don't you accept him? You see, if you're not saved, if you haven't listened to his voice, then you're not one of his sheep. And if you're not for him, then you're against him. There's no neutrality in this matter. This is a year of election. And you know and I know that when the time comes for the election, some people can stand neutral. That is, they're not compelled to go and vote, either for one or the other of the candidates. They can refrain from voting. That is, they take a neutral position. But when it comes to the things of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no neutral position. There's one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And we cannot be neutral so far as He is concerned. We are either for Him or against Him. And I notice here there was confusion in the way which they left. They were unable to apprehend Him, and He moved out of their midst. Say ye of Him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. That's verse 36. A lot of people have challenged me and challenged other preachers on this point. Those who do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, those who do not believe in the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ, they'll challenge you on this and say, the Lord never claimed to be God. Yes, He did. Right here in John's Gospel, He said in chapter 4 to the woman at the well, I that speak unto thee am He. Here again, He said it very plainly to these Jews who were gathering around Him in Solomon's porch. He said that He was the Son of God. But the people began to leave Him. Now, I want you to notice now from verse 40 to verse 42. Therefore they sought again, verse 39, therefore they sought again to take Him, but He escaped out of their hand. And went away again beyond Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized, and there He abode. Many resorted unto Him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on Him there. Here was a definite movement from Jerusalem. He went again beyond Jordan. Here was the cleavage with His enemies. He had spoken of the open door. They were refusing to enter in. He presented Himself as the true shepherd. They refused to listen to His voice. So He turns and He leaves them. There's the cleavage with His enemies. He left the temple in Jerusalem and departed to where His ministry began, over at the River Jordan. There was the conviction of many people. Those who were convicted went out to Him in His rejection. They also left the temple with all its ceremonials. They left the temple with its religious sacrifices. And they went out to the place where the Lord Jesus was in rejection, outside the camp to Him. There was the confession of many. They confessed that John's testimony was true and they believed on Christ. Isn't it remarkable? It's right here at the end of John chapter 10, where we're told that John did no miracle. The people remember that. John never did any miracle. Yet they're saying this, everything that John said about this man is true, and many believed on him there. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They were not convinced by any miracles that John did. They were convinced by the testimony that John gave. Then they watched the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they came to this conclusion. Everything that John, the great prophet, said about this man is true. Therefore they accepted the word, and they believed on him there. And many believed on him right there where he was, in his place of rejection. I ask you today, my friend, have you ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever trusted Him as Savior? If not, why don't you trust Him now? The evidence is clear. He was and is the eternal Son of the eternal God.